Come on.
Dear Lord, thank you for this amazing day. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Mm-hmm. I love the weather, just changes my mood for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I thank you so much for it, Lord. I pray that you can really just set JD and I aside and really just speak through your word, Lord. Convict these guys, just like I've been convicted just from writing this, Lord. Mm-hmm. I pray that you can really just touch their hearts, really help them to create new and deeper convictions, Lord, from what they might already know, Lord, mm-hmm. To change their whole mindset on it. And so I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome, guys. So let's go ahead and let's just crack open the scripture. You guys can turn over to Acts 21.
Right. Come on, Manny.
So it says, after we had torn ourselves away from them, we put out to sea and set sail and sailed straight to Kos. The next day we went to Rhodes and from there to Patara. We found a ship crossing over to Phoenicia, went on board and set sail. After sighting Cyprus and passing to the south of it, we sailed on to Syria. We landed at Tyre where our ship was to unload its cargo. We sought out the disciples in there and stayed with them 7 days. Through the Spirit, they urged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When it was time to leave, we left and continued on our way. All of them, including wives and children, accompanied us out of the city. And there, on the beach, we knelt to pray. After saying goodbye to each other, we went aboard the ship, and they returned home. We continued our voyage from Tyre and landed at Ptolemais, where we greeted the brothers and sisters and stayed with them for a day. Leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. After we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt and tied his hands and feet with it and said, "The Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am not ready only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Mm-hmm. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." After this, we started on our way up to Jerusalem. Some of the disciples from Caesarea accompanied us and brought us home to Manson, where we did stay. He was a man from Cyprus and one of the early disciples. Awesome. So how incredible is this scripture?
Come on.
Right? Yeah. We get to see a lot of the last few times of Paul here, right? Mm-hmm. And so how perfect is this in accordance to what Jim was speaking about on Friday, mm-hmm. right? So Jim was talking about Paul's heart and that in order for us to be effective on our campuses and in our own lives, it's going to take a brave heart, right? Paul gives us a powerful testimony in Acts 20, right? We see that of his life and the amazing things he's done through God. Right. You know, he even goes on to saying that famous line in verse 24. He says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." For Paul, it wasn't enough to just be a disciple, right? But it's about completing or finishing, concluding, finalizing, and finishing God's mission for us, right? He understood that it was about the goal. And for us to reach that mindset of Paul's, we must be focused and driven on the task God has set before us.
Yeah.
So those are going to be the 2 points that JD and I are going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about what it means to be focused and ultimately driven for God and his mission.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm talking about what it means to be focused. And what does it mean to be focused, right? If you look this up on the internet, as I did, I Googled it. If you look it up, different synonyms that might pop up are the center of something, right? Mm-hmm. Or a focal point, center of attention, right? You kind of know those things. Or maybe even the hub of something. And what I really liked was that it said it was the pivot, right? So that everything you do kind of pivots around something, some central idea. And so We see that to be focused, it's more than just grinding something out or finishing an assignment, right, as we can do with school. It means that everything you do or work at should be traced back to some core belief or principle, right? And so if we place the same idea to a car, right? I'm a real big car guy. And so if you place this idea into a car, right, the main focus is the steering wheel, right? Everything kind of revolves around whether or not you move the car, right? And so if you don't have that steering wheel, then you don't have that focus, right?
All right.
And so for us, focus is our steering wheel. It's what's going to be driving, it's what we're going to be turning with, what we're going to be making our decisions with,
right?
And so as Christians, we know that our focus should be God,
right?
But is our mindset showing that? You know, from our mentality and what we're putting into our minds, then our actions will soon follow. And that's going to be evident, right? But what we're doing. And so in order for us to have a good mindset on this topic, on what focus is, let's see what Paul's focus was, right? Let's see what his mindset was through the scripture.
All right.
So it was clearly evident that Paul was sold out for God, right?
Right.
He understood this topic of focus so well.
Right.
Right? There was no question, right? You look at the scripture, you're not questioning, is Paul really devoted to God, right? That's not like what's popping into your mind. It's probably the opposite. Like, this guy was so devoted to God, right? Everything he did or said was not completely based off himself, but it was based off of what God wanted and God, right? And so we saw that focus back in Acts 20 in verse 24, and we see it here too, right? I'm going to read verse 13, but I'm going to read it in the Message version. I just love the wording of it, and I think it really emphasizes his mindset. Yeah. It says, when we heard that, we and everyone there that day begged Paul not to be stubborn and persist in going to Jerusalem. But Paul wouldn't budge. Why all the hysteria? Why do you insist on making a scene and making it even harder for me? You're looking at this backward. The issue in Jerusalem is not what they will do to me, whether arrest or murder, but what the Master Jesus does through my obedience. Can't you see that? And so Paul said that the disciples had the wrong focus here, right? That they were looking at this whole situation backwards, right? All they could see were the negatives from it, right? They weren't like, oh, this good stuff will come out. They were like, we're going to lose Paul. Right, this driving force in our ministry, he's not going to be with us anymore.
Right,
and all they could see were these negatives. You know, what they lacked was a vision for how Jesus was going to use this negative situation to bring more people closer to God. Right, talk about having a God-focused mindset. Paul was just like, this is it. You know, this is what I need to do.
Right.
And so for us, you know, I want you guys to think. What are some things that can hinder our focus,
right?
Do you guys look at bad situations and only see how it affects you? What do you do in response to those bad situations? Are you someone that just starts to question God, starts to question his motives, right? Ultimately, it comes down to how do you react when things don't go your way, right? In the case of all those situations, the center of attention is on ourselves,
right?
Sometimes we can just sit in our filth and wonder what the heck is happening to us, right? We can be like, my week has been horrible, but I've still been reading, right? I've still been praying to God. Well, why are these bad things still happening to me? You know? When that just shows how the center of attention isn't placed on God, it's placed on ourselves, right? And so, I know this. I get this so much because by nature, you know, we're just selfish human beings, you know? And I'm a selfish human being, you know? Even this past week, you know, I was just so caught up in different things I had to do with school and stuff. I had like, you know, like 3 or 4 tests and an essay, you know, and then a 15-page paper I had to write, you know? And I was just like, I was just so overwhelmed and I was so caught up in like, I gotta do this, I just gotta grind it out, right? I just gotta study and I gotta like devote like this amount of time to that, you know?
Come on.
And then I found myself questioning why I didn't have the same passion or zeal for God as I used to, right, in those cases. And it just makes sense, though, right? Because I was trying to put all my attention onto myself, and I didn't see like I was doing that when I didn't see things going my way, right? But I just had to remind myself, I need to imitate Christ through this, you know? And we see that Paul was imitating Christ through his situation, right? Jesus was beaten, right? He was flogged and ridiculed. He endured such amazing pain on the cross that it's just astounding, you know? And through that, he never once questioned God.
Right.
And he had his mind always set on heaven and what God's will was. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I question God so much more often than I shouldn't be, that when I look at Jesus, I'm just convicted, right? Paul didn't question God, right? And look, you know, after we got our grades back and I fought to maintain my focus on Christ, right? And I got my physics test back and I got my differential equations test back and I got 100 on my physics and a 99 on my differential equations. That's crazy, yo.
Jeez.
That's not me. Because if it was me, I probably would have failed that, right? It was because I was trying to keep that. I was fighting for that focus, but I was still fighting for something, right? I was fighting for the focus on Christ.
Amen.
And Jesus and God was like,
amen,
this is my will.
Come on, man.
And so, even if you think, you know, you're clear or you're good, right? Like your focus is completely God-centered, right? Meaning centered around God. I want you to ask yourselves, am I where Paul is, right? Paul didn't even question dying for Christ.
Right.
He was just like, this is just something that I need to do. This is part of being a disciple.
Right.
Just like having my quiet time or, you know, those personal times with God or even sharing my faith. Dying for Christ is something that I need to do because that's what Christ did.
Right.
Can you say the same thing?
Mm.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Now after we figured out what can draw our focus, our response should be, what is it going to look like practically for us to be sold out for God, right? Because I could be spewing all this stuff at you, but practically, what is that gonna look like for us, right? So, if you guys could turn with me to Colossians 3, verse 2, we'll check out what God says about where our attention should be.
Come on, man.
And it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This scripture is saying that we need to set our minds on heaven. That when things don't go our way, or something doesn't happen the way we thought about it in our mind, right? Or when you, like, you know, really plan out something. I know I can do that a lot. I can just plan out different things, and it just doesn't happen the way I assumed or the way, you know, I did it in my mind, right? It's saying that when all those things happen, our focus should still be on heaven, right? So when we're sharing our faith with people, I'm not just inviting someone to Bible talk or to study the Bible, but I'm trying to get people to heaven.
Right.
And that when you look at your bank account and you're sitting there trying to donate for contribution, and you're hesitating, you're like, I don't know if I should do this, my bank account's looking iffy, you know? You gotta say no to that stuff because ultimately, you know where that money leads.
Right.
That money leads to help other people bring people to Christ, right? And it helps to fund that. And there are a lot of worldly guys out there, right, that are trying to steal our sisters.
Come on,
I'm saying it. You know, because they're trying to take our sisters, and by taking our sisters out on dates,
right,
we're hoping them get to heaven.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's all about getting people to heaven.
That's what it is.
Getting myself to heaven, getting you guys to heaven,
right,
and getting the people around me to go to heaven.
Right.
All right.
And I don't want to say that I don't want to be the person that doesn't let somebody not get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I want to give everybody a shot to get there.
Right.
And it also says, right, and for you died, right? And it says that your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And so that means that when people view our lives and how we lived, how we interacted with people, they shouldn't see you. They shouldn't see Emmanuel. Mm. They shouldn't see Charles or Rob or any of those guys. Mm. They should be seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
They should be seeing Jesus like as if he was literally right there.
Mm. Mm.
And so you should be blinded out, and your motives and what you want shouldn't even be a thing. And it should be blinded out by what Jesus and what God wants.
Mm, come on, Manny.
And so that means acting how God would. Mm. And that's seen through Jesus in the Bible. Right? We see that Jesus was loving, right? He was compassionate. He was amiable, or that means that he was kind, mm-hmm. right? He was congenial, or he was relatable to people. A great question asker. He was humble and cared for the lost. Mm-hmm. In Philippians 2, it talks about our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, right? Reiterating that our mindset and our focus should be imitating Jesus and what he did. And so if Jesus was on earth, he wouldn't hesitate to go share with those cool guys on campus, right? He wouldn't hesitate to share with those people that seem like they got it all together. Because no one has it all together. That's a lie,
right?
Mm-hmm. No one has it together. We all need Jesus. Mm-hmm. We all need God. We all need to be saved.
That's so true.
Even as it comes to reading, Jesus was the Word. So it wasn't even a question if he would be reading. Because everything that came from his mouth is the Bible, so it's just insane. It's just amazing.
That's true.
So that shouldn't even be a question for us. And similarly, if our focus is on heaven, then we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other people.
Mm.
Right? We shouldn't be looking to the left or to the right. Like, what is this guy doing? Why is this guy so much more spiritual than me? Or, you know, this sister or that, you know? Because our focus is heaven, right? And our whole goal is to get other people to heaven.
That's
and so if we're just focusing on that, and we're not focusing on what people are doing around us, then that'll change our whole perspective.
Right.
We're not looking at the numbers, we're not looking at the digits, and we're not looking at the facts and the figures. We're looking at, I just want to get this person to heaven. I just want to get myself to heaven. I want to get her to heaven. And that's the end of the story.
Come on, dude.
Come on.
If you guys can turn with me to Romans 8, verse 5, this is the last scripture.
Good stuff.
It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And so the Spirit, which is God, desires to be holy. Right. It desires other people around them to be holy,
mm-hmm.
right? So being pure and not allowing anything impure to defile God's creation mm-hmm. is a part of that. And so we shouldn't be up at, you know, sketch clock looking at stuff we know we shouldn't be looking at because that's impure
mm-hmm.
and that's not holy and that's not what the Spirit desires.
Right.
And similarly, we should be constantly sharing our faith because we want the Spirit. The Spirit knows. I know that I'm on campus sometimes, and sometimes I'll let people walk by, and I'm like, oh, I should have shared with that guy. I should ask him if he wanted to come to Bible talk. Oh, you know, I should ask this guy if he wanted to study the Bible or something, because the Spirit knows, and it wants other people to be holy. I don't know if you guys can relate to that. Sometimes you're just like, you know, I should have shared with that person, and then you feel regretful because you didn't share with him, right? And it's because the Spirit wants to be holy, and that's what it desires. And so if we're trying to be focused, we need to be focused on what the Spirit desires. So we saw that focus is more than just white-knuckling something, right? It should be a lifestyle. The way you handle negative situations or share your faith, encourage others or love others should be traced back to God. And that should be evident by how you live. Once we have a God-centered mindset, we then have the right direction for us to develop a passion or a zeal or a drive for God and his kingdom. But it all starts with our focus. Thank you guys so much for allowing me to share. JD's going to come up and talk about drive.
Nice.
All right. Yeah.
Good job, bro.
Come on, Jimmy.
Not home.
What's up? I'm a little sick. I don't know if you can tell by my voice. My nose is incredibly stuffed. But thank you. So yeah, thank you, Manny, so much. That was super awesome, super powerful. I hope you guys got something from that. But yeah, he was talking about focus, right? And that's the steering wheel of a car.
Right.
But obviously, it's gonna be wiggling around your tires if you don't have gas.
Right.
You need drive in order to go.
Yeah.
But both are important. So I wanna ask you, what's your motivation? If you don't have a solid motivation, you're either gonna be very inconsistent or you're just gonna give up. So let me tell you a personal story.
Alright?
Come on.
It's about like a year and a half ago, I was like, yo, I'm gonna get big.
Wow.
I'm gonna get muscles, I'm gonna get jacked. Yo, well, I was making jokes with people, I was like, yo, imagine JD, but bigger. Yo, I knew I had the genes. Yo, my grandpa, he did physical labor all the time. And he just naturally got big. My mom, for a little period of time, she started lifting and she was getting big. Like, women aren't supposed to get big. So I know I got the genes to get fit. I knew it was possible. So I got advice. So I'm like, I figured out how much I need to lift. You know, what's a good amount to lift? How many reps? How often? So I made a plan. And so I was gonna work out every other day. And that rest, you know, every other day is a rest period and I work out. And I'm like, I'm gonna do this. So I'm working out in my basement for like a week and a half. Then it's kind of, it just flops. Kind of just give up. Like, and it's too much work, it's kind of boring. But then, about like 2 weeks later, I see a video on Facebook about, you know, like one of those progressions, like this guy takes a picture of himself after every workout, and you see the progression and just him getting jacked, and I'm like, dude, I got inspired, I'm like, I'm gonna do that. Oh my gosh, so I went back to my basement. I've got my playlist again, and I started working out. Doing it.
To the basement.
2.5 weeks later, I stopped again. Just like, it's too much work. It's boring. I don't know. I didn't have a strong enough motivation to keep me going.
Yeah.
So, I want to look back at, you know, the Acts 21 scripture. You know, where Paul is driven.
All right.
Yeah, I want to reread verses 12 and 14.
We're with you, bro.
When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. When Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, he gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done."
Yeah.
Paul was a driven man.
That's right.
Yeah, he was.
He was so driven. Nothing was getting in his way.
Right.
He was going, like literally going to Jerusalem. He was traveling quite a distance to get there. Right. And all along the way, you can even see in chapter 20, other people in chapter 20 were also pleading with him. And we can see here in verse 4, through the Spirit, they urged him not to go. Through the Spirit, they urged him not to go.
Right.
Verse 9, all the daughters prophesied. And I'm pretty sure by mentioning that, it's safe to assume, they all prophesied to him that he was going to get bound in Jerusalem.
Right.
In verse 10 and 11, Agabus also warns him not to go.
Right.
Yo, it seemed like Paul wanted to die in Jerusalem, right?
Right.
Like, what's up? But no, that's not it. Paul trusted in God.
Wow.
He trusted. He knew God had his back. See, he trusted in him, but also he was willing to die for Jesus for, I think, one other big reason. He had one major, huge drive.
Right.
But before I get to that, I want to ask you guys, what is your drive for Christianity? Is your drive for Christianity because it's just the right thing to do. Because that's not a relationship. You're just being an obedient slave.
Wow.
That's not what God wants.
Right.
Is your drive for Christianity because you just like the guys and girls in the church? Because you know, the people in the church aren't Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to make mistakes. They're going to hurt you. They're going to, you know, hurt your feelings, turn you down, or let you down.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
What, are you going to remain faithful when someone in the church hurts you?
Mm. Mm.
Is your drive for Christianity because you want God's blessing? Because in the end, you're not going to make it for the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Anything besides Jesus' love, which is rock solid,
right,
which is foundational,
right,
it's unchanging.
Right.
Even when you have the worst week ever that you could ever have in your life, Jesus' love is the same forever.
Right.
You can always rely on Jesus' love,
right,
even in the worst of times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anything besides Jesus' love is a fleeting motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When your motivation leads you to the point where you're willing to give up everything and die for Jesus, that's what's going to keep you going in the long run,
right,
for the rest of your life.
Come
right.
on.
Right now, with the motivation that you have, are you willing to die for Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
The only thing that can really lead you to that extent, to be willing to die for Jesus, is when you really, truly see Jesus' love and fully appreciate it. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Your drive has to be, your main drive has to be that Jesus died for you on a cross to show you how much he loves you. Because guys, I'm tired of seeing people, brothers and sisters, fall from God's grace.
Right.
Leave the church because Satan blinds them from Jesus' love for us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so tired of it. Guys, you know, most of you guys know, my sister, she hasn't been living like a disciple for the past 2 years. Really hurt me. Because Satan just blinded her to God's love. So many other people that I know, so many close friends that I grew up with, who just fallen, were blinded. They didn't see God's love for them anymore. It's just so heartbreaking. Christ's love wasn't their main drive for Christianity.
Wow.
How easily persuaded are you from God's mission? Do you do bold things for evangelism and share them with everyone? That's great. But then the next week, just kind of neglect the lost. Kind of like, I mean, that was great that 1 week, but I'm busy now. Got work to do. You guys, you know, going back to this example of a car, you know, a car is only going to run for so long. You know, if you don't get a checkup, you know, bring it into the shop, you know, get your oil changed, you know, I mean, gas is important, but gas is the thing that we clearly see that we need because, like, the light comes on when we're low. But those things behind the scenes, like oil changes, tires, tire pressure, you know, our lights, or blinkers, see if that's working. You know, yeah, I mean, I confess, I'm really bad at this.
Right.
I'm really bad at checking my oil, seeing if my tires are good, you know, seeing if my lights work. I mean, the only time I actually bring my car into a shop is when, like, my dad calls me up, he's like, "Hey, Jay, remember you gotta bring in a car, you know, next week on Tuesday." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Other than that, I'm not concerned about it. Even when, like, the little light comes on, you know, you guys have that light?
Yeah.
You know, it says, Yeah. Bring it in. Kind of just like turning a blind eye to it, like, I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Guys, I mean, what happens if you totally neglect that?
Right.
Car's gonna break down. Who knows when? And it's gonna be mad expensive to fix. Why waste the money? Guys, the same thing applies spiritually. We get so hyped for conferences.
Oh.
Come on.
And we get, or an awesome message, like my dad's message this Friday. It was super awesome.
Yeah.
Super inspiring. We get so hyped. And we'll go off the hype and those that feeling for a good amount of time.
Right.
But we know feelings, you know, that hype dies down.
Yeah.
We need something more solid.
Come on, baby.
If we don't consistently take care of ourselves, bring ourselves into the shop, have detail, really check our hearts, see where we are.
Come on, dude.
Guys, we're not gonna make it in the long run.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Car's gonna break down. Who knows where? We might be saying, my car's driving fine, I'm going. I don't need a checkup. Check your heart. Where are you? Where are you really? Because little do you know that your character is deteriorating, that your convictions are loosening up. You end up falling into some impurity, falling into some temptations. Guys, we need to take a really good look at our hearts.
Yeah.
Really see where we are. Are we having those really good checkups? Are we just changing the gas?
Yeah.
Are we looking at the whole picture of where we are?
Okay.
You know, you say, yeah, I'm doing good. Are you really? You know, get open. Get open with someone. And honestly, not that we're not going to see all of our flaws, because honestly, I'm not the best. But I can't see all my flaws. I can't see all my imperfections. I need other people to point them out for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not asking, we're not going to get anywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, I depend on people to be like, hey man, like Matt, sometimes he'll come up to me like, hey man, should probably not do that. I'm like, oh, okay. Other brothers too. Sometimes my girlfriend is like, Jay, you probably shouldn't do that. I'm like, oh, okay. I appreciate them so much for it.
Yeah.
They're just helping me.
Right.
They really want me to go for the long run.
Yeah, come on.
Just like Revelation 2 verse 5. Consider how far you have fallen. Mm. Repent and do the things you did at first.
Come on.
Good pastor.
You guys, just like in verse 13 again, of Romans chapter of Acts 21. Do you have, in the voice translation, I like the voice translation because it says, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm fully prepared to be bound and more to die in the name of Jesus, the King.
Mm.
Do you have that drive?
Yeah.
Do you have a drive that will lead you to die in the name of Jesus? Because disciples in the first century, that was common.
Mm.
It's common for disciples to be thrown into the lion's den, to be eaten. Are you willing to die for Christ?
Mm.
Come on.
I know the common answer is like, oh yeah, of course.
Mm.
You know? I mean, Jesus is Lord, right? Of course I'm willing to die. But really examine your hearts.
Mm.
Really, really look in there. Are you willing to die for Christ? And if not, why?
Mm.
Why not? What helps me is just gratitude for Jesus.
Mm.
The cross. Thinking about how much God loves me.
Right.
And thinking about all that He has done for me.
Right.
Mm.
Let's be men who have our main drive coming completely from God's love for us.
Come on.
Amen, guys?
Amen. 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 Amen.